Let's turn to the first letter of Peter. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered through Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Hallelujah. This week, Caroline and I went and had a B&B in Bournemouth for 3 days. We didn't exactly get our knotted handkerchief on our heads and sit on the pier with our trousers rolled up, but we just thought it'd be good to get away, so we hadn't had a real break since camp. And just enjoy that air in the New Forest and the sea and so on. And we, the place where we were staying had this magnificent panoramic view over the bay, over the sea. And we could just stand or even sit on the bed and see this wonderful seascape. And of course, the weather was very changeable during the week, as you will be well aware. And so the appearance of the sea was constantly changing. All of us would be familiar with that. You've got a nice, clear, blue sky, and that is reflected in the water, and it looks beautiful and bluish and inviting. And then the clouds roll over, and that same sea begins to look gray and sort of dark, almost depressing. And when the storm clouds come in, it even looks threatening. It's the same water, the same sky. It's simply that the difference in appearance is all because of the clouds that come between the sky and the water. Now, we can all picture those changing scenes. But, you know, this has a real spiritual counterpart in our lives. Because Jesus is always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. The Word of God never changes. He is always with us. The truths of the Word of God, not only of who he is and what he has done, but what he has made us, those truths never change. They are always the same, no matter what the circumstances. But what makes things appear to be different in our lives is the clouds that can roll across. Sometimes they can be clouds of oppression. Sometimes they can be clouds of adversity. Sometimes they're storm clouds. And they don't shut out the sunlight because there is still light that penetrates through the clouds. But everything appears different, darker, more dismal, not so full of life. And one of the things that we have to learn as Christians is how to deal with the clouds. Not simply to accept that we're living under a cloud. According to the scripture, the only cloud that we are to live under is the cloud of glory. And the cloud of glory doesn't shut out the sunlight, it intensifies the sunlight. It's like a prism that magnifies the light of God into our lives. So, how do we deal with all these negative things that can so easily cut across our lives and make things appear so much more dismal and dark? Well, the first thing that we need to understand is this. You won't get rid of a cloud by analyzing it. So it's no use sort of looking at the cloud and just trying to describe the cloud. What does the cloud look like? It doesn't actually matter what it looks like. What you need to do is to get rid of it. Anybody say amen to that? So we want to see the clouds dispersed. But before we often see the clouds dispersed, we have to rise above the clouds. It's easier to disperse the clouds from above than from beneath. This is a spiritual meteorological message this morning. Is that all right? Now, praise raises us above the clouds. That's why we're to praise God, to give thanks in every situation, even when it's cloudy, even when it's stormy, to rejoice always, because that rejoicing, that praise, that thanksgiving lifts us above the clouds. And we are able to see things from God's perspective and not our perspective. In other words, we're looking down on the clouds instead of up at the clouds. I can remember years ago when I was on one of my flights to somewhere or other, I was sitting next to a very elderly lady who had never flown before. And she was obviously, you know, a little bit nervous and apprehensive, so I was just saying one or two things to assure her that it was all right, you know. So we took off, and there was quite a heavy cloud cover, and it had been raining and pretty miserable in England that day. And, of course, we went through all the clouds, and there we could look down on the clouds, but it was gloriously sunny, as it always is. And she just turned to me and said, "Oh, isn't it a lovely day up here?" And I wanted to say to her, it's always a lovely day up here. Because whenever you get above the clouds, there's always the sun. Unless it's night, of course. But you see, this is, again, has its spiritual counterpart. As soon as you get above the clouds, it's sunny. Hallelujah. But it's S-O-N-N-Y. It's you know, sunny with the life of Jesus, with the light and the glory of Jesus. And you look down on the cloud, you don't look up on the cloud. You just get a different perspective. And when we get, if you like, with God, we begin to see things as he sees them, through the eyes of truth. Now, what we must understand is that there's nothing good about the devil. I mean, he is just full of deception. He is the liar. He is the father of all lies. That's right, isn't it? So, a lot of these clouds that blow over people's lives are actually clouds of deception. And so when you arise above the clouds, you're into the truth, the sunlight of truth. You've risen above deception. And if you look at the world around us at this moment, there are many clouds of oppression, of deception. Things that are not true are regarded as politically correct, and so on. We just live in that kind of a world, which makes it even more important for us to have a grasp of the truth and to lay hold of the truth and to keep hold of the truth. So we don't get sucked along by all kinds of deception simply because that is what is happening around us. Okay, now let's turn to this scripture here in 1 Peter. Are you all with me? Because we want to see how to get rid of all these clouds. Is that all right? Now, first of all, Peter, who is, of course, one of the apostles, one of the original disciples of Jesus, he is writing to God's elect, the chosen ones. So the first thing you have to remember is that you're chosen. Just say, I am chosen.
I
come and say that a little bit more conviction. I am chosen. Well, now, first of all, who are you chosen by? Well, Paul says in verse 2, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. What that means is not only that God decided to call you, to choose you, but it was all in his divine purpose, which he actually established before the creation of the world. So you are not just chosen, you have been chosen by God's foreknowledge. Let's say that. I am chosen by God's foreknowledge. Now, put that very simply, it means God knew what he was doing when he chose you. It was his plan, it was his purpose, he chose you. Now, did he choose you to live under all these negative clouds, or did he choose you to enjoy the sunlight? You see, we're just getting back to some pretty basic things here. Who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. That sounds a bit awesome, doesn't it? What does that mean? When God chose you, he made you holy. Yes. Say, when he chose me, he made me holy. It isn't that you've got to try to make yourself holy or become holy. He made you holy. That meant he chose you and set you apart for his purpose. Amen? We were talking about that last week. Okay, now, this is how he chose you. He chose you by his own foreknowledge. He chose you through the work of the Holy Spirit. In other words, unless you had the Holy Spirit, you couldn't be chosen. I mean, that was all part of him making you a child of God, by the work of the Spirit. But why did he choose you? For obedience to Jesus Christ. He chose me for obedience to Jesus Christ. You can say that. Come on. You wanted to say the other things. Now say this. He chose me for obedience to Jesus Christ. So he didn't choose you to get you to heaven. Hello? He chose you for obedience to Jesus Christ. Heaven will come. We'll get to heaven in a minute. But first of all, he chose you for obedience to Jesus. So we don't want any clouds of disobedience. We don't want to form clouds through disobedience, do we? I mean, there's enough clouds that get blown across our lives without creating any more of our own. Are you at the same meeting that I'm at here? I mean, I know what I'm talking about. Okay. But you've also been chosen not only for obedience to Jesus Christ, but for sprinkling by his blood. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means you've been chosen for forgiveness. Say, I have been chosen for forgiveness.
I have been chosen for forgiveness.
That's good news.
Amen.
Because it means there's no condemnation, even when you mess up.
Amen.
But it means more than just being chosen for forgiveness. It means you've been chosen to be set free from the power of sin. Because it's through that blood that Jesus broke the power of sin. Amen? So you've been chosen to live in obedience and free from the power of sin. Say, I have been chosen for obedience.
I have been chosen for obedience.
And to be broken from the power of sin.
And to be broken from the power of sin.
Amen. That's great, isn't it? It means that there's no sin that has a grip of you. Oh, some Christians can allow a sin to have a grip on them, but they don't need to. And if that's the case, that grip can be broken. Amen? So any such clouds can be dispersed. So praise raises us above the clouds. But what we want to see is the clouds actually dispersed. Get a nice sunny seascape. Okay. Now, grace and peace are yours in abundance. Say, grace and peace are mine in abundance.
Grace and peace are mine in abundance.
I mean, this gets better and better, doesn't it? Because grace is what God gives to you, although you deserve nothing. And what Peter says, I mean, that this is not some great theologian like Paul. Paul was a great theologian. But this is the fisherman speaking. You know, good, down-to-earth character. You can see that's exactly what Peter was like from the gospel accounts. And so he's making this wonderful truth, speaking this wonderful truth, that grace is yours in abundance. Now say in abundance.
In abundance.
Now, abundance means there's so much of it, you hardly know what to do with it. So, God's grace, his gifts to you, are just so abundant, they're so great, they're so many, that you hardly know what to do with them. Now, look. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. God wants you to make those gifts of his grace your own. Somebody thought hallelujah and forgot to say it, but never mind. Okay. And peace. I mean, what happens when the clouds come along and people start to look at the clouds and analyze the clouds? They lose their peace. But when you praise God and you begin to get his perspective on things, then peace is restored. Because, you see, the scripture says, peace is yours in abundance. You see, God wants you to be in that place with him where even when everything is going wrong all around you and there's so many problems and needs and everything seems to be suffocating you, you're still at peace. Because you know nothing can separate you from his love. Well, I believe it. Anybody else believe this? Praise God. Okay. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Peter knows the importance of praise. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth. Say, he has given me new birth. Now you're sure of that?
Yes.
You are born again?
Yes.
You are a new creation?
Yes.
Now, he gave you new birth. You didn't get it. He gave it. It's His gift to you. Say, He has given me new birth. It's His gift to me. Now, when God gives a gift, He never takes it away. He doesn't loan you new birth while you're good. And then if you mess up, say, oh, I'm going to take that new birth away. No, no, no. Once you were born, you were born. You could not go back into your mother's womb. And once you're born again, you are born again. Amen. And you can't be unborn again. Amen? Amen? Now, all this is the work of His great mercy. Say, great mercy.
Great.
So God has had great mercy upon you. And in that great mercy, He forgave all your sins. Amen? I mean, He just obliterated your past as if it had never happened and had no significance and no further hold over your life. He made you a new creation. So you never have to look back and say, I'm a prisoner of my past. You are a new creation who had a new birth with a new beginning. So you're a new person. Now we're getting somewhere. Right. Okay. Now, He gave you new birth into a living hope. Say, living hope. Now, what is hope? Hope, remember, these three things abide. Faith, hope, and love. Now, we know what faith is. That's living with your trust in Jesus. We know what love is, that we love because He first loved us. But what is this living hope? Now, hope is what lies there in the future. Right? God has prepared good things for us to walk in. That's part of our hope. Jesus Christ will come again, and we will come with Him. Or if He comes while we're still here on earth, we will be ready to greet Him. That is part of our hope. Now, hoping that doesn't make Him come today. But we have a living hope. Now, people with a living hope are always looking to the future with expectation. You see, people sometimes say to me, Pastor Colin, you're always talking about God's about to do this and some other great thing has happened and we're going to have a great camp and we're going to have a great conference and God is going to move in this way and God is going to move in that way. That's only because I have a living hope. So I'm always positive. I'm always expecting more. I'm always expecting greater things. I've probably seen greater things in God than any of you. But I'm expecting to see greater things still because I have a living hope. So I don't just say, well, praise God for what I've seen. Now I can retire and take a back seat and let Clive do all the work. No, now I still have a living hope. Until my dying day, I will have a living hope so that when I die, that living hope will be realized and I shall see Jesus as He is. Hallelujah. So in other words, those with a living hope are always expecting the clouds to disperse, and it's going to be a nice day.
Yes.
Oh, Caroline would testify. She can back me up on this. But I mean, when we're away on holiday, you know, and sometimes we look out of our little place in France and the clouds are over, I say to her, we'll be on the beach by 3 o'clock. You know, the clouds will pass and it'll... The clouds will move over and the sun will come out and we'll be on the beach by 3. It's hope. It's expectation. It's always looking for the positive. It's always expecting the good thing. Now, that's at the natural level. But we've got to do it at the spiritual level. These clouds are going to part.
Amen.
I'm not living under this. I'm not living with this. I don't have to do that. I have a living hope. And Jesus is my hope.
Amen.
So I'm not living under clouds. I'm living to see the clouds disperse and the whole atmosphere of my life and what is happening around me and what is happening in the church and what is happening in the nation and what is happening in our area and in our town. We're going to have a positive, affirming attitude all the time. That's called faith. Because faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Incidentally, Sussex won the cricket cup at Lord's yesterday, so that's good. So, praise the Lord. God is still in heaven and everything is happening on the earth as it should. Praise the Lord. Just a little aside for some of you that missed that great national point of significance. So we have been given into a new hope. Now, a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection. I'm going to get happy this morning. Is this all right? Because I can't preach this kind of stuff and be sad, you see. Because and it's all through the resurrection of Jesus. You see, everything, look, the clouds were so heavy on the day Jesus was crucified, it went dark.
That's right.
The sun was obliterated for 3 hours. But look what happened when he raised from the dead. Hallelujah! And we have a living hope through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, we have a living hope and we have been raised with Christ into an inheritance. Say, I have an inheritance.
I have an inheritance.
And the scripture says that inheritance can never perish, spoil, or fade. Now, the clouds are not part of the inheritance. The sunshine is your inheritance, but it's eternal sunshine. It's eternal life. When God gave you a new birth, he gave you eternal life, didn't he? So you have an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Look, that's what he says, doesn't it? Kept in heaven for you. Well, that's wonderful, isn't it? It's nice to know we've on the other side of all the clouds, we've got an inheritance. But you see, God wants us to take hold of that inheritance now because we're co-heirs with Christ now. Yes, there's everything that we are ever going to want eternally kept for us in heaven. But God wants his heavenly will to be done on earth. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? Now, who through faith are shielded by God's power? Right, now we have this. We have this living hope. We have this inheritance that is kept for us in heaven. And while we are in the process of coming to the point where we will be able to take hold of that inheritance in all its fullness, we are being shielded. We are being protected. We are being kept. Peter says, by God's power. Amen. Say, I am shielded by God's power. So what have we got to be afraid of? You see, the devil can shoot all kinds of flaming arrows at us, but we're shielded by God's power. Now we can do silly things and make ourselves vulnerable. But then because of the sprinkling of the blood, we can be forgiven. But God keeps us from so many damaging things without us even realizing it, I believe. All kinds of things. Devil can try to kill us, but he can't. Because we're shielded by God's power. We're not going to go until God's appointed time. Okay, so we're shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed at the last time. Now, remember, salvation is a process. I am saved. I'm being saved. I will be saved. Yes, I was saved. I am, you know, I have been saved. I am saved. I will be saved. You see, the fullness of that salvation will come when Jesus comes again. The fullness of that salvation comes when you will be in heaven, when you will live and reign and rule with him for all eternity. That's a salvation that is there in the future. That's a living hope. That's what we're living for. And God has called us to obedience to his son, Jesus Christ, until that day. And obedience can be costly. Anybody discover that? If not, I'll help you to discover it. Obedience can be very costly, but only to the flesh. But you see, it doesn't matter the cost now if the reward is going to be so great. I mean, what does it matter if we have to give up this, that, and the other and say no to certain things that we want? What does that matter now if for all eternity? I mean, if you can look at it this way, eternity is a long time. I mean, eternity is timeless. Isn't it worth making whatever sacrifices are necessary now in order to have a great timelessness? Mm-hmm. The devil always wants to tempt people for short-term feelings of self-gratification, which have long-term disastrous results. That's the devil's work. But no, we have been born again into a living hope. Amen. For obedience to Jesus Christ. That's why we have been chosen, so that God can fulfill his purpose through us. Now, Peter says we must hurry up because we must be over by six. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Anybody gone through any trials? Our last couple of years, I surely went through a few trials that I never thought I would have to go through. And you know, when you're going through trials, you can try not to ask the question, why? Why, Lord? Why am I having to go through this? It's a useless question. If ever you're going through a trial, never ask the why. Because that's saying, why are there clouds over my life? Never mind why they're there, get rid of them. Hello? But actually, Peter helps us here because he said, you have suffered many kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. So, okay, I preach faith about healing the people for years and years and years and years and years and years and years. So now I had to put that faith into operation myself. My faith needed to be proved genuine. I wasn't just preaching to others, but by living by what I preach to others. Amen? So fine. That helps me. It doesn't help you. But you see, if you believe in it, then you stick to what you believe because God honors that faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But, oh, these have come such your faith, which is of greater worth than gold. Listen, your faith is more precious than everything you've got in your bank. And some of you are looking at me as if to say, well, that doesn't give me very great faith. Oh, well, praise God. But I mean, you know, your faith is your most valuable possession. That's what I'm saying. Yes? You do not have any more valuable possession than your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Since your faith may be proved genuine and may result in praise, honor, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. You don't always see the reward of faith immediately. But you will see the reward of faith because God is faithful. And he will always reward that faith in due time. Right, though you have not seen him, you love him. You love the Lord?
Yes.
I'll say that once more because not every lip moved. Do you love the Lord?
Yes.
Okay. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him. Yes. So you have this very great inheritance. You have this living hope that can never, this inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. And you love the Lord and you believe him. So you are filled, Peter says, with an inexpressible joy.
Yes.
Joy is a funny thing because I find there are lots of Christians that are very good at concealing it. But you see, I believe that if we are living in the joy of the Lord in the way that he intends, we would not be able to conceal it. I mean, it's going to bubble out. Even when everybody else thinks it's cloudy and stormy, we are still rejoicing. We are praising God and we're rising above the clouds because we are filled with inexpressible joy, a joy that is so great we don't know how to express it. Why do we need to skip and dance around sometimes? Because you can't express the joy adequately just by what you say. So your whole body wants to get in on the scene. Come on. You know, your legs say, let me share in the joy. And your arms say, yes, let me share in the joy. Don't they? I bet they do sometimes when you're on your own. When nobody can see you except Jesus. And you can go skipping and dancing around now. Oh, Lord, I love you. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. And you're hoovering away. Yes, Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. But I mean, this is why you can let all the joy out. I almost wanted to stop the praise at the beginning and say, come on, enjoy him. I mean, praise is enjoyable. Oh, and we got to sing some more. Listen, you'll be at it for all eternity in heaven. If you're not going to enjoy it, you're going to have a miserable time there. I mean, there's no misery in heaven, is there? Which means miseries don't go to heaven, isn't it? Is that right? Isn't it wonderful?
Amen.
Now you see. Let's just go back as we finish. Just giving you hope. Just to where we began with this seascape. Okay. Now we saw that the cloud cover changes the appearance of the sea. Right? Now, if there's any clouds in your life, where are they? I mean, if you're going through some kind of difficulty, a cloud does not come and deposit itself over your house. So that everybody in the street says, mm-hmm.
They're going through a hard time. Look at that cloud. Cloud hasn't shifted all week. Yeah.
No, this is where the cloud is. That's where the cloud is. It's in your thinking. It's in your mind. It's in your attitude. So what makes the seascape in your life look dark, lowering, depressing, threatening? How you look with your mind at your circumstances. What then is going to shift the cloud? A change of mind. Which in Scripture is called repentance. Now, repentance is not just saying, "Oh God, I don't know what happened to me, that all these clouds should be in my life, but I'm sorry." Repentance is changing your mind. It's having a different mindset, a different attitude towards the circumstances of your life. That's why if you look at the cloud and analyze the cloud, you will just get more and more depressed. It'll get darker and darker because the cloud will get thicker and thicker. The important thing of praise that lifts us above the cloud and we begin to look at the circumstances of our lives in a new way is we get a different mindset, a different attitude. We begin to see things as God sees. Now, wait a minute. I have been called of God. I haven't been called to live with this cloud. And even if I have to go through some kind of trial, that's only so that my faith will be tested to see if I can rise above this cloud. And if I'm going to move by faith to see this cloud dispersed. Are we there? So I'm not going to be an idiot and go around talking about the cloud. Huh? Oh, I got this terrible cloud, I got this terrible cloud. You know, as if to say, "Oh, feel sorry for me. Couldn't you see what I'm having to go through on this cloud? You might be all right, you might have a sunshine, but I got a little cloud under me." No, faith gives birth to faith attitudes. And when we have a faith attitude, we don't just praise God despite the situation. We praise God because we know that will change the situation. Praise, you see, breaks through the cloud. And the more you praise God, the more that cloud disperses. That's why the scripture says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Give thanks in all circumstances." Because until you begin to do that, the clouds won't disperse. And when you begin to get your focus on the Lord and praise Him, faith begins to rise because you realize how big He is and how much greater He is than your insignificant little problem, because that's what it is compared with God. And you begin to see, wait a minute, God is the one who is able to change this. Hallelujah. I'm just going to keep praising Him. I'm going to keep exalting Him. I'm not going to get worried and frustrated because of the situation. I'm just going to keep praising Him. I'm going to give thanks. I'm going to rejoice because I know that's the answer. And I'm not going to allow the clouds to take away my rejoicing mentality, because I have been filled with a joy that is so great it cannot be adequately expressed. I tell you, the most frustrating thing for me in what I went through is that I physically could not I didn't have the energy or anything to physically express what was still in there. It was still in there, but I couldn't physically express it. So you didn't see me leaping and jumping about because physically I couldn't do it. But hallelujah, now I can. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So I praise God, but you see, sometimes we go through a period of restraint like that, but it mustn't change us on the inside. And so long as we keep that praise, keep that faith, keep that rejoicing, keep that thanksgiving, even when clouds come over, it's still going to appear sunny. The sun will come through those clouds because we will not become cloudy people. Just turn to your neighbor and say, I'm not a cloudy person, I'm a sunshine person. Amen. Let's all stand, shall we? Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's stand. Let's have the musos up. Praise God. Oh, Lord, I bless you. Come on, lift your hands and just begin to thank the Lord. Oh, what a wonderful God. What a wonderful, mighty God. Oh, come on, I can't put into words. Come on, you've got to put it into words. What a wonderful, 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 wonderful God you are. Oh, Lord, I thank you that your mercy is so great. I thank you your grace is so great. I thank you that you give us peace in abundance. I thank you that we have been born again into a living hope. Thank you that we have an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, that is kept for us in heaven. But I thank you that we can walk in the glorious liberty of the sons of God right now. Thank you, Lord, that we're not living under clouds of depression and oppression. But thank you, Lord, that praise penetrates, raises us above, causes those clouds to be dispersed. So we praise you, O God. We magnify your wonderful name. We give thanks to you in all circumstances because you're greater than the circumstances. And Lord, if we've gone around talking about the clouds, please forgive us. If we've got all depressed because of the clouds, we've got all self-concerned because of the clouds and the needs, then please forgive us. And we just speak to those clouds now and we say, clouds, you disperse in the name of Jesus. The only cloud I'm living under is the cloud of God's glory. I'm not going to live under any other kind of cloud. Lord, I thank you that I'm shielded by God's power. Come on, thank him that you're shielded by his power. Oh, hallelujah. That your faith shields you by God's power. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Now, come on, if you know you've had a negative attitude, if you know the seascape in your life has just looked so dark and lowering and depressing, just thank God now that by his grace you have a change of mind. Come on, repentance now. Lord, I repent of that wrong mindset. I repent of that negative mindset. You need to do that. Come on, you need to say, Lord, forgive me for all that negativity which has been a denial of the inheritance that you have given me. Now, I thank you for the sprinkling of the blood. I thank you that you don't condemn me. I thank you that you forgive me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that by the power of your Spirit, that sanctifying power of your Spirit, you set me free from this negative mindset. Now, come on, I want you to really get hold of this. Just you've got to thank him yourself. I can't thank him for you. You thank him, Lord, I am free from that negative mindset. I am not going to live with that any longer. No, I present my body as a living sacrifice and my mind to be renewed so that I know the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And I know your will for me is not to live with these clouds. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, come on. The landscape is changing. Can't you see the shadow of those clouds? You know in those windy days when clouds are just scudding across a sunny sky and you see the shadow pass over the landscape? You know, just see those shadows passing away now. See the sunlight penetrating through the cloud cover as you praise God that He is greater than your need, greater than your problem. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, now thank Him that according to His word, you have within you, because the Spirit lives within you, this great and inexpressible joy. Now that joy is waiting to come out, see? God doesn't want the joy bottled up within you. So if you've been, you know, a depressed, a heavy person, I don't say that in any judgment, but you know, you can identify with that if it's true for you. Just thank the Lord that now you're going to be a joyful person and that others are going to see the joy. The joy is going to radiate out of your life, out of your attitudes, in your conversation, in your relationships. The joy of the Lord is going to come forth. Come on, let's really thank Him. Oh, Holy Spirit, we thank You for the release of that joy in our lives. We thank You, Lord, that this is a joyful church. And we thank You that all our covenant groups are going to be joyful groups. And we're going to reach out into this community with the joy of the Lord. And people are going to see that we're so happy, they'll be jealous. And they'll want to know how they can be as happy as we are. Oh, thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Oh, isn't He wonderful? Now, just as we finish the praying, I want you just to keep your eyes closed. If there's been any need that really has been getting you down, I want you to thank the Lord that you have a living hope. In other words, that you not only believe that that cloud is going to be dispersed, but you see it as if it's already happened. Faith is laying hold of that which shall be as if it is. So I want you to thank the Lord right now for a cloudless sky. Oh, that Jesus has dealt on the cross with everything that could hinder us. Oh, we bless You, Lord. We praise You, Jesus. We give You all the glory. Come on, Heather, let's have a great praise song. We need to praise the Lord. We need, and if you want to dance, you can dance. You can exhibit as much.